Good evening. Because I'm a teacher, I feel the desire to name things. So my session tonight is called the Nelson College Story Project, or the responsibility I bear for the death of your pet. Several years ago, we'd just newly arrived from Scotland. We'd been living in Peterhead, which is in Aberdeenshire, which is the 17th worst place in Britain to live, the third worst in Scotland. It's a town of wonderful people, heroin addicts, and a faint smell of cod. So I was on school holiday and I was sitting at home and I got a knock on the door and there was a lady, when I opened it, there was a lady standing there and in her arms was a kitten. And the kitten was not looking very healthy and she looked at me and she said, "Is this yours?" And it very much wasn't, so I had to say, "No, I'm sorry." And there was a moment of silence between the two of us. She said, "I've just seen it hit by a car." And there was more of a moment of silence and then I realised, this is now my problem. And being chivalrous, or possibly just to fill the silence, I asked her, "Would you like me to deal with it?" And sort of had come out before I'd managed to think about what I was saying. She said yes, and she was gone. Now, I have many skills in my life. Dealing with a dead kitten is not one of those skills. And I realised briefly, I also didn't know what to do now. A whole raft of options ran through my head, including, I'm ashamed to say, just sort of chucking it away. But I realised the thing I was less prepared for than dealing with a dead kitten was explaining to someone what I had done to their dead kitten. So I buried it in the back garden, made a little cross out of some wood because I have some experience in dealing with small dead animals, sadly. And you know, I thought, now I've got somewhere to point to if someone comes around looking for their kitten. More recently, my children, I have three, a 9-year-old, a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, were desperately happy when a friend of ours wanted us to look after their guinea pigs. Now, I have a checkered history with guinea pigs at the best of times. I had warned them that I had a checkered history with guinea pigs at the best of times. That seemed to not allay my fears, certainly. And so we looked after these guinea pigs. It was Cubby and Jake. Sadly, Cubby was doomed before he'd made it to our letterbox. Cubby didn't make an appearance on the Friday night, and we felt that that was probably okay. He was probably shy. I don't know if guinea pigs get shy, but that was the excuse we gave my children. Next morning, Cubby was still in his hutch. Probably, you know, he'd had a really good sleep, and he decided that he didn't want to come and have a visit. Cubby really only made it out of the hutch when my 9-year-old son tilted the hutch to such an angle that Cubby kind of barrel-rolled and plopped. Guinea pigs sort of plop when they're feeling very ill. So Cubby was lying there, and then what sort of proceeded in the next hour was a charade of a visit to a vet in which I felt the need to kind of show that I was putting the guinea pig into a huge, sort of comically large carrier, take it in and sort of enjoy the charade with the vet who said, "Oh, look, they go downhill very fast." At home, my wife was dealing with the wailing and crying for Cubby the guinea pig that my children had known for less than 12 hours. But having pets and knowing about pets, the circle of life is always a lesson for children. There are four other guinea pigs that I have had in my care have died, plus cats and dogs and things. I don't have pets now. I want that to be absolutely clear. But the reason, apart from therapy for myself, because there's a great opportunity to talk about my pet issues, I was thinking about a project that I've got going up at Nelson College at the moment. That started several months ago with one of my Year 11 Media Studies classes. And sometimes as a teacher in education, it really feels like that we get these things that our students make, especially if you're in the creative sides of school, of education, of filmmaking, which is what I work with my students in some radio production, but art and those things, where these students nurture and create something that we then kind of assess, and sometimes it feels like, and I'm sure we all remember from our schooling, that you work really hard on something and then a grade gets assigned to it, and it can sometimes ruin that experience for students, it can sometimes mangle that experience for students, and sometimes it feels like that experience and that thing that they've made has been killed stone dead. So what I was looking to do is to try and think of a way of really disassociating it and removing the assessment and the grading of an assignment with the learning. And that's the goal in all education, is trying to make the intrinsic joy of learning the key thing. So we created the Nelson College Story Project, which was partly created because this is a bit of an admittance to Joanne. I thought of it, the name of it, about 5 minutes before I had a meeting with Joanne about getting them on Fresh FM. I kind of blurted it out before I'd fully thought the thing through, and then it sort of became a thing. So the Nelson College Story Project is an opportunity for us to start to think about the stories that the boys have been telling at school. And I've just heard the duck, so I'm going to speed up a little bit. So there's three layers, really, of the Nelson College Story Project. The first layer is radio production, where we get the Year 11 boys to tell stories. Now, I was really fortunate in my class this year, of my fifth formers, that I had a big group of boys that had incredibly fascinating stories about growing up on a farm, playing paintball. I've got a boy who's a really serious video gamer. I had five boys that were international students. Three of those were refugees from Myanmar. So I had the opportunity to get these boys to tell their stories, and we've recorded them, and they've been on Fresh FM over the last few weeks. So that's sort of an opportunity for our boys to really start to see that their stories as a part of Nelson College, a part of that 150, 160 years of history that we've had, is all part of this sort of fascinating melting pot that Nelson College has become over the last few years. You know, in my class, like I said, I have boys from Japan, Fiji, Australia, Myanmar, that have fascinating, absolutely rich stories to tell. The second tier is the opportunity for the filmmakers to start making some documentaries, and we're going to look for a way that we can get those out into the public domain. So as an adult, and as I've started to have my own children, I realised that a lot of my life is spent burying pets and digging up stories. And I'm really hoping that one of those continues more than the other, although my children are talking about goldfish. Thank you.